Previously on 24.
Mr. President, Jack Bauer just called with some new information. He claims they have evidence that proves the Cyprus recording is counterfeit.
I'm calling off the attack.
Stopping and restarting this military action could cost tens of thousands of American lives.
An acceptable risk if the alternative is waging war against three innocent countries.
What do you know about Section 4 of the 25th Amendment?
If the majority of his cabinet feels he's unfit to fulfill his duties, the president could be removed from office.
And the vice president becomes acting president.
As far as I'm concerned, it's Prescott who should be charged with treason.
I was afraid you'd say that way.
Fight!
Until you hear from me, do not let her out.
I think I can lure them away from here so you and Kate can get the chip over to CTU. Meet me at Moore Park and Vineland. If I'm not there in 15 minutes, you get that chip to Tony Almeida.
Yusef! Behind you! Oh,
what did I tell you? He's a damn towelhead.
Oh, stop it!
Tony, we got the evidence that proves the Cyprus audio was forged. It's a CPB memory chip that contains the original source recording.
Do not kill him until he talks.
Jack, I need the chip.
It's not for sale. My answer's final.
When Ronnie's finished working on you, he'll give me another.
Chip, Jack.
He's dead.
The following takes place between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m.
I'm Joel Cerno. I'm executive producer of 24.
And I am Kiefer Sutherland, and I play Jack Bauer. And we are sitting here watching episode 20.
What is it, 3 a.m. to 4 a.m.?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about some of the things that were happening while we were making it.
We'll stitch you up. We'll get you out of here on your way. What are you doing here?
Looking for the epinephrine.
Another Canadian actor? Jeffrey Wincott? So we're coming in on this episode. Kiefer was tortured in the episode before and actually died. He flatlined. And they are unable to revive him.
Nothing. Go again. Increase the jewels. You are not going to die on me, you son of a bitch.
These two episodes, the one before this and this one, were shot together. And as you could see by what Kiefer is going through in this, this was really tough sledding these shoots. These were intense, hard to shoot scenes, and unfortunately we came up short on both this and the episode before, and I had to add another day of Kiefer being tortured by Peter Otterbridge, yet another Canadian actor who we've used in this show. He's a wonderful actor who you'll see in a minute.
No, we've been really fortunate with the actors that you guys have given us. I mean, some Canadians, some not, but they have been really fantastic.
Put him on the gurney. Put him up on the gurney. Give him as much as he can take.
It is kind of staggering, the preponderance of actors we get out of Toronto and Montreal. I mean, first season was obvious. We had about four of our cast members.
Let's go, let's go!
Both Peter and Tobin Bell, who played the bad guy you just saw, we actually had used in Nikita, Bob, and I, when we used them. These guys are great. Now here we go. This poor schmo has to go.
Give him the paddles.
Wouldn't you break a needle if you shoved it into a guy like that? It just looks so
either
good.
That or break his chest plate.
I think Quentin Tarantino made it okay to do that when they did that to Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the response to this, especially the episode before where Kiefer was tortured to this point, where Jack was really, some people had a problem with it. It was really hard to watch. I mean, we did it so vividly. And, you know, our fans get so attached to Jack especially that they didn't like seeing him have to endure that. They felt it personally. It was very hard.
But I think it's one of the things that we certainly have learned over the last two seasons is that the audience, as difficult as some of the pushing might be,
yeah,
that's what they viscerally react to about the show.
I agree. That you can't be doing that
kind
of aspect
of
it. You're not gonna die.
And what's fantastic for an actor is even though this whole sequence of these two episodes was very difficult to make, You get so excited about coming in to do it because, because it is difficult, it's physically demanding. But it's incredibly rewarding also to be able to...
To push it that hard.
To push it that hard, absolutely.
This guy, Alan Dale, on top, is an Australian actor, another Australian Sarah Winter being the other, who has an impeccable American accent. You talk to him in person, he's got a fairly thick Australian accent. He's a big star of a Australian soap opera. And here's...
Yeah, when I look at these scenes, it's just, you know, other people.
Yeah.
Other people, other people, other people waiting for Jack.
Yeah.
I'm so kidding.
Can we fast forward through this?
Other people, other people.
That's how you read a script.
Yeah.
Jack's not on this page.
Okay. Other people's lines, other people's lines.
Who cares, who cares? My responsibility is to make sure that the cabinet votes
to remove him from office. I have a responsibility to make sure the vote takes place.
What is amazing, though, when you get to actually watch the episode, is because even though you read the whole script, you then become very focused on your storyline. And you know, everybody has their own way of making their storyline work and that whatever energy that they put into it. And so for me, when I actually get to watch it, I know what's happening in mine, but I really do enjoy watching all this stuff with President Palmer and his staff. And
we were talking about before we started airing this is Kiefer rarely watches his own stuff. It's a superstitious thing, you said, right? You
don't. Pretty much, yeah. I have to give him the opportunity
to produce the proof. He's going out.
I'll watch it when you and John come and say, this isn't working. You have to do this better. But if I don't have to, I generally don't.
It generally doesn't happen. I know this isn't. Here we see Novick feeling guilty. A lot of this episode is really seen through Novick's point of view.
Send Lynn into my office. She's going to help me draft my statement.
He is betraying Palmer in this episode.
She wasn't feeling well. She took a few minutes down.
He's covering up about Lynn.
His character turns fantastic.
Yeah. Because you could see the guilt at the same time. Yeah. He really believes he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Against a man who he, you know, has been faithful to for 20 years.
Whoever you are conspiring against the President of the United States of America. Do you have any idea what that means?
Hello? You have no idea what's at stake here. Please open the door.
The little thing that I think is kind of neat here is Joseph Hodges' use of red. Joseph Hodges is our production designer. It's a color that he just brings to the screen a lot. And for some reason, it really adds tension to it. You'll even see it in here, little pieces of red, red accents in the scene with Hewitt.
Mm-hmm.
In the following episodes, he had red paintings and things like that. It just, you know, it's a color of agitation that he used a lot. Now here we are.
Hey, get his
wall. More people that we like, hurt or dying.
Got a couple hundred.
These are three kind of racist guys who are responding to the bomb and taking it out on any Middle Easterner they see, who one of them happens to be this character Yusuf, who was an intelligence agent for his country.
You think he's got money? Only thing worse than these bastards in our country is people like you.
No, it's not like that.
Well, one of the things that I really love that you guys have done with just the overall storyline in this area is that the mob mentality and what can happen. You watched it happen during the Los Angeles riots. You watched it happen during the earthquake here, where a very small group of people will take advantage of
absolutely.
A very chaotic situation.
And those of us who lived through it, it was real. It was real and it was scary.
And you really address it here, and I think that's it.
The show's great on the streets. You know, we're in institutions a lot. We're in government buildings. We're in CTU. Whenever we get out and we're in the real world, a prosaic world like this, when Jack's doing something or we just see it like this, it's always a great color to the show. Look at this. Now these guys are taking the chip, which is the only thing that is left that could save this attack from the Middle East from happening. they're taking it with them to Kate's house. She's going to pay them to get it back. Meanwhile, the guy who a lot of people thought was a bad guy when they first saw him, Yusuf, they've really come to love. And now here he is struggling to get the information about the chip back to CTU. Really like this scene.
He was such a wonderful actor.
Had you ever met him before this?
No.
Me neither.
No, and he was just great.
This was beautifully lit. Rodney Charters is our DP. Just did a great job on the streets here. That's basically our show in a nutshell.
All circuits are busy.
You get right to the point. You struggle almost to the point of death to get to the phone, and all circuits are busy.
Too much. You don't want to strain his heart.
He's strong. He can handle it.
I was sucking in my stomach right there.
Sure you. Bringing it from a 30 to a 29-inch waist. Is that what you were doing? This poor
schmo. Yeah, that's just getting in a position to flex.
Inhale, puff out the chest. This poor doctor had to work on Wallace a couple episodes before. He had a busy night.
Amazing. This will paralyze your diaphragm, and you'll slowly suffocate. I feel like you're drowning until you tell me where the chip is.
I already told you. I don't know where the chip is.
No, that's what's exciting about playing this character is that once you hit a level of energy, generally by episode two or episode three, your responsibility is to maintain it. And even when you're playing the fatigue and the exhaustion over the course of the 24 hours, that has a level of intensity to it. That's what makes it so much fun, is that it's unrelenting. And I think as a show, it's unrelenting. And certainly the challenge for me as an actor is that this stuff is unrelenting.
Yeah, really, even when Kiefer is just, Jack's near death, there's an urgency to, like, move forward. Everything is about moving forward in this show, getting to the next place before something bad happens.
What are you doing?
I had to disconnect his IV first.
Get the Beriglide.
Sir.
Beriglide is a made-up drug.
And it's amazing how many people on our show decided that it was real.
We originally called it Paraglide, and it sounded too much like something that was real. So we changed it to Beriglide.
But here what's really amazing, too, is that I think Jack Bauer as a character is a very human, real character. But he also, like, for instance, in this scene with the doctor, and you'll see him do it quite a lot over the course of a season, he'll take very normal, average people and get them to do something quite extraordinary as well. And that's, I think, a dynamic that a lot of people grab onto.
Yeah, the show's great when he's dealing with the waitress last year.
Even if it's subconscious, I think, as an audience person, I think people go, I wish he'd run into me, I'd really help him out. You know, and I think that really does have an effect.
Save SATCOM for your highest priorities. We're sharing it with half a dozen other agencies.
Okay.
Tony.
All right.
Here we have Ryan Chappelle, who's sort of an overlord of CTU, who's coming in from a place we call Division, which is sort of another federal group.
You don't have to explain. I'm just glad you're not letting the tail wag the dog.
Ryan, Jack may not be wrong about this. He's in the middle of an investigation.
Wait, I don't want to hear that. All right, we're about to bomb the Middle East into next Wednesday. We're supposed to be processing intel to support that operation.
I've got most of my people on it.
I want all your people on it.
Ryan, don't you think we need to eliminate any reasonable doubt about the office?
These guys are hell on the post-production people because they whisper everything. And it's great and it's intense. But they have to carve out their dialogue all the time, especially Carlos. It's very hard to score him. You have to keep it real low because he's got that low intensity.
What's right is to follow the chain of command. put everyone on domestic response.
Why can't people be nice to each other on our show? Why does everybody have to get in everyone's face? You know? They're just trying to do their job. There we are, a lingering look. Meanwhile, Michelle Forbes is about to try and break up. We had lots of discussions, again, more red there, of how loud that sound should be, because we didn't want it to be heard in the other part of the building where Palmer was. Those were one of these like 20-minute discussions on the mixing stage.
Get through to him.
Sorry, Mr. President. His office said he's temporarily unreachable.
Unreachable? I want him now.
I'll try again, sir.
Aaron.
Glenn Morshower, who played plays Pierce, this character here.
Close the door, please.
Was in a horrible car accident last year. Fortunately, he came out unscathed, but there was a little bit of a accident curse on the show this year with our actors.
A little bit, yeah.
Everyone seemed to get a little something.
I haven't been able to establish contact with my vice president in the last half hour. What do you make of that?
I wouldn't know how to respond to that, Mr. Pressman.
I just pulled our bombers out of the air against everyone's recommendations. Now my vice president suddenly is unreachable. Should I draw any conclusions?
Sir, I'm not qualified to give an opinion on that.
Aaron,
sir,
you've been doing this nearly 20 years. You know how the system works. Is Prescott planning something behind my back?
I'm going 2010, police cover position 3.
Roger that.
For what it's worth, I think the choices you've made today have been the right ones.
That's not what I asked.
Well, sir, there are always those inside the administration who feel that delay is a weakness. If enough individuals share this point of view, then...
Aaron, is Prescott coming after me?
I'm not sure. But you have good instincts, sir. I'd listen to him if I were you.
That's a great scene.
Very nice scene between these two guys.
Yeah.
You know, I think what you were saying about how Jack deals with people outside his field, I mean, that's interesting for us to see Palmer just dealing with some low-level Secret Service guy kind of adds an edge. Mm-hmm. Here's Eugene Glazer, another Canadian actor who was a series regular on La Femme Nikita, who I brought in to do a small part here. It's because he's a scary-looking guy. The president just
suspended. For now.
Now is all that matters.
Now you're being metaphysical.
Peter.
Palmer is not going to be able to withstand the political pressure from his own administration, let alone the will of the people. He's not going to have any choice.
The scene, what we're seeing now, actually takes place on our set. We have a backdrop that looks like Los Angeles, 3 a.m. These guys do an incredibly artistic job of keeping that looking real.
Power will be a problem.
Again, that's Joseph Hodges, our production designer, who's responsible for all this stuff. Here's one of our first looks at our real villain, played by Tobin Bell.
No, but he'll wish he stayed dead. I'm all done playing games.
Jack Bauer's had enough. Yeah, that doesn't hurt. What are you, a little girl? My 9-year-old can hit me harder than that.
Fill the syringe and double the dosage.
You know, I don't even have malpractice insurance. What are you talking about? Give him some more Baraglide. All right. It's now or never.
I'll tell you where the chip is. Where? Again. It's in a pocket.
What did you say?
They're taking the chip.
You're taking it where?
Oh, yeah, baby. Love this.
Stay down. How much longer does he got before he's dead?
As long as 15 minutes.
Kiefer asked me to body double for these scenes, so. So, you ladies out there, remember that. God, I haven't killed anybody in over a minute. Look at this guy.
Do this really quick.
And I'll make it quick.
Yeah, well, this guy's a wimp. He's gonna turn over the information in 2 seconds. Yeah, you wouldn't see Jack Bauer doing that. That was a mercy kill. Okay, feels better.
Whoops, maybe not.
Whoops. Well, that was about a full 5 or 6 acts of him being restrained and tortured. So now Jack's out in the field again.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Yes, close the door, please. Have a seat, Mike. I've been feeling a little disconnected from my people in the last hour.
Mr. President, I've been trying to manage the Joint Chiefs.
This set that you're looking at here was a remodel of the operations complex set, which we used at the beginning of the season where Palmer was up in Oregon. We just reconfigured the whole thing. Joe rebuilt it to make it a Los Angeles federal building. Fascinating piece of information for people to have and carry with them.
Still are on the brink of war. I'm the commander-in-chief. When I call, there's only one direction.
Absolutely. I'll get him on the phone right away.
Do that. Oh, am I? This statement that Jenny made a pass on, it's not working.
Well, what's the problem?
The facts aren't updated, and I don't think Jenny's been apprised of everything. I want Lynn to go over it.
Lynn's sleeping.
Why don't you give it to me? I'll get it to her.
Thanks.
You lying sack of crap.
There are a few characters on this show that can lie effortlessly.
Yeah. No hesitation.
Yeah.
And some that can't. Actually, Carlos, I don't think, is a good liar on the show. But there was a scene last year with you and Nina when you came in and said, why don't you tell him when Tony was challenging you?
Right.
And you just came up with some bullshit line. Right off the top, and Nina was right there with you. That was great.
Are you going forward or not?
Of course. Nothing's changed.
Well, then, the sooner you can execute, the better.
As fast as we can here.
David Palmer is not a stupid man. He knows something is going on. It won't take him long to figure out what it is.
How does he know?
But for one thing, you have...
We didn't have a storyline for Alicia in this episode, so we, if people ever say people don't sleep or... go to the bathroom on your show, she could say, yeah, I did, between 3 and 4 a.m.
And we'll find little bits, too. There's a couple points here in this season, and there was one specific in last season where Jack Bauer, when you come back the next hour, it's been maybe 15 minutes, and you see him in the limousine, and he's waking up. I mean, it's a 15-minute nap, but you acknowledge the fact that someone would, in fact, be tired.
I'll tell you something else with eating. I have a personal dislike of seeing people eat on film, unless it's a dinner scene and that's the point of it. But with all the attention that you're trying to create, there was a scene in the beginning of the season where Palmer was having something to eat, and the director just put it in front of him as an incidental thing. It was never scripted, and I hated it because it felt too self-serving and too mundane. While with a nuclear bomb hovering over L.A., that the president of the United States would stop to have a bite to eat, and I cut it way down so you almost don't see it. But it's just one of those things you think. Well, the reality is that, but it works against the dramatic point of the scenes.
What do you say?
We lost the signal.
You trying back?
Yeah, I put an auto trace on the number.
The great thing about season two from season one for me is I don't have to work in that office anymore. Because that office is the hardest thing to shoot in the world.
It's on the second floor.
Five glass walls.
Yeah.
All on pitched angles. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. It takes a lot of time.
I told you I don't want Bauer distracting you or your resources. Whatever he's doing out there is irrelevant.
That was Jack's initial resistance to coming back to CTU, is that they might give him his office back.
Had nothing to do with his daughter. Paul Schultz, another terrific actor.
Yeah.
Played the priest in our rival show, The Sopranos.
Jim, we both know you've been one of the most outspoken opponents to my decision to call off this attack.
Any criticisms I may have had of
more lying behind closed doors. Liar, liar, liar.
Any public scrutiny.
I know we haven't had a chance to talk one-on-one since all this.
It's a thing that the post-production house does when we split screens. They have that little hum, that little sound that you hear subliminally that breaks the screen into two. It's always a nice little moody piece.
If you have something to say, I would expect you to bring it to me first.
Of course, Mr. President.
Thanks for getting back to me. I still don't trust him.
David Palmer's no dummy.
What do you want me to do?
Sorry to interrupt, sir.
What is it?
Lynn Kresge is injured. She fell down some stairs.
What happened?
We're still not sure. It appears she may have been running from a fire in an upstairs room.
Is she okay?
On-site physician says she's critical.
Show me where.
Nice. Yeah, this is a big show for Jude. Jude came in as a very small player, just kind of there in the background, and really sort of created a nice little part for himself.
So, what'd you find out from dispatch?
Well, Jack called me from a cell. Came from somewhere.
Carlos got into a basketball accident, pulled his Achilles heel. And so what we did, we had a scene where Jack breaks out of CTU and he gets into a little skirmish with him. So we just had him in that skirmish twist his ankle to set up the reality of the situation, which was Carlos himself had been on crutches. Kind of worked.
Can you monitor those without being detected?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the things that has been fantastic about working on the show is and not just in a situation like this where it's physical, but on so many levels, the show can adapt. I mean, and I think that's a real testament to the writing and the scenarios that have been developed, that they are real enough and believable enough, that they are flexible, that they don't have to stay on such a rigid line.
Well, Kiefer got injured for a while, and we kind of played that into the plane accident. You know, you hurt your knee for a couple of weeks, and we were able to fit that in. People are getting hurt enough on the show, so if they get hurt in real life, we're able to make it believable.
To bend, yeah.
Where's Kate?
They took her to her house, Hancock Park. She offered to exchange money for the chip.
Come on, let's get you out of here.
Jack, I'm not gonna make it. Go get the chip, Jack.
Just hang on.
Here's a scene my wife hated. She hated to see him die. She loved this guy, Donnie. He died a hero.
Yusuf, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
This is an interesting moment for me as an actor. Because a lot's happening there. He has to keep moving. He has to keep going forward, and somewhere in a very small amount of time, he's going to also try and take responsibility for this man's death and the guilt of that. And so that starts to mount, and that's one of the things that is such a pleasure about playing a character on this show, is the layering of all of those
things.
We dump
that on Kiefer all the time, where he's got to, his natural instinct is to take care of a person who's hurt or dying, but there's a larger imperative thing that's happening, and he's constantly, it's Sophie's Choice. You know, five times an episode for Jack.
Which is a fantastic thing to play. And it's also challenging. And you can find ways, and you figure out ways that can make it better, or hopefully better.
I said shut it off! Shut it off!
What's the code?
5-1-2-2-4.
And it's all the different layers of physically. Find a beat in here where you can show that there is a reaction to what has just happened to him.
You're right. You kind of have to segregate them out. You have to play that beat separate from the conflict beat.
Otherwise, they become muddy.
Yeah.
Doc, what's her status?
She sustained some sort of neurological damage. We won't know the extent until we get her to the hospital.
Will she live?
It's too early to say.
Can I talk to her?
Mr. President, that may not be a good idea.
I asked the doctor a question.
You can try, but she's been slipping in and out of consciousness.
Man. Me, David Palmer. I'm so sorry. We're getting you to the hospital. I need you to tell me how this happened.
So she took a severe blow to the head. She has a concussion and she's not coherent.
She's trying to say something. It's okay. I'm here. I'm listening. What is it, Lynn? What is it?
Now, this didn't quite come out as clear as I would have liked it to. But Palmer does not see this. It's not quite clear in the cutting of this and the way it was done. That was all behind Palmer's back. Because I had a couple people say, well, didn't Palmer see her pointing toward Novik? When you pop out to the wide, you see that he is leaning close enough to do it, but it's one of the things that just drive you nuts sometimes, you know. Sometimes you just don't have the footage. And I'm sure in person, it was fine. When you were on the stage at the time, it looked right. This was a little ambiguous.
Damn it.
Carlos told me this was his favorite scene of the season that he played.
He told you not to waste any more time looking for Jack, but that's all you and Michelle are doing right now.
Why aren't you working on the field intel?
Don't shine me on, Tony. I'm just trying to help you keep your job.
Really? By doing what?
Not saying anything.
Okay. And don't say anything.
I want something in return.
And what would that be?
Michelle worked for me at District. Things work much better that way. But she's not qualified to be my boss. That's why things have been so messed up here tonight.
So, you want Michelle's job? Is that what this is about?
Interesting footnote. Yes. Her first day of work, she's trying to read the map on how to get to our stages because it's quite deep in the valley here. Not a lot of people know where it is. She ran into a police officer. She ran into a police officer's car.
Oh, she slammed into a car?
Slammed into a cop car and was late for her first day's work. And we've called her cop car killer ever since. One of the nice things, if you're as pretty as she is,
yeah.
And as nice as she is, they generally let you off. And they did. She actually ran into a police car and they let her off.
Oh,
Carrie was trying to extort a promotion out of me by promising to keep her mouth shut. Is that about right?
Mouth shut about what?
He and Michelle are still trying to find Jack Bauer. I was just trying to give Tony the courtesy of a warning. I was going to tell you, Mr. Chappelle.
Right, that's enough, Carrie. Get back to work.
Yes, sir.
Thought I made myself clear, Tony. We're past Bauer.
No, sir. You are. I'm not. I'm still director of CTU, and I'm allocating reasonable resources to ensure that we have all the facts. Now, if you're not comfortable with me making my own decisions, I suggest you relieve me of my duties right now.
That won't be necessary.
Thank you, sir.
Don't thank me. I just don't have anyone to take your place right now.
Ouch.
I don't like insubordination.
Where's the love, man? We're on the same team. Lingering look, number 17.
These guys were really good, too.
Yeah, they were.
What the hell is this?
There should be at least 20,000 euros there.
Euros?
It's European money.
I look European to you? Where's the cash?
Oh, there he dumps it. Like it's Monopoly money.
You understand me? Marcus? You think this is real?
No, they keep the fake ones locked up.
1,500. That's it?
That's it.
Now, what do we do?
Look, just take it all. Just give me the chip.
She knows what we look like. She knows our names, too.
We had a deal.
He's right. We can't just leave you here.
Look, take everything. I won't tell anyone. I won't tell the police. I promise. Just give me the chip.
Marcus, don't do this, man.
I like that there's sort of dissent among these guys. Makes it interesting.
I can't get locked up again, man.
No!
So fast there, pal.
Are you all right?
Yeah, they've got the chip.
How many rooms at the end of the hall?
Two. Master bedroom and a bathroom.
Stay down.
All this handheld camera stuff, which I think is so important to our show that creates this kind of energy. We have one of the best camera departments, certainly that I've ever had the pleasure of working with in 20 years.
Without a doubt.
And they create such an amazing amount of energy that if I'm running at a certain speed with what they're doing with the camera, it ends up feeling 10 times faster.
And they're making their own decisions about what we're seeing almost as much as the DP himself. They just set up the scenes, and these guys a lot of times are just picking and choosing images they're going to film.
They're like actors in a sense in the scene that they're the third or fourth person, and if you're not interesting them, they're off of you.
Absolutely. And that's so right.
And they'll move on to someone else, and you'd be surprised how fast, once actors start to sense that, they start to change stuff pretty quick.
Every actor is on a first-name basis with Guy Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find him as soon as possible. I need everyone to make this priority one.
Last scene of the show, usually a cliffhanger.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, I'd like to thank you all for assembling at such short notice.
This is
I'm
his
sure
cabinet.
You're all wondering why I've asked you here, why I've asked you to keep the news of this meeting to yourselves.
It's a great set, too.
It's a beautiful set.
But shouldn't we wait for the president?
President Palmer will be joining us later.
I'm not sure I understand you.
The first part of this meeting will be a closed session.
Closed to the president?
I'm afraid that's the point of the meeting, Alex.
Tell
To some of you, this will come as a surprise. For most of you, though,
I hope it comes as a relief. But it is my sincere belief that based upon his response to today's events, David Palmer is unfit to continue as President of the United States.
End of show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great.